Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, we're here with Jesse Agler, who along with the rest of the Padres faithful enjoyed the offensive explosion last night in Colorado.
And the game comes to an end. And what a game it has been. Padres 14, Colorado 3, the final score.
We're also here with Mike Grace, who's been all geeked up about the Padres' hot start to the season.
I'm decompressing a little bit from an amazing week. Amazing weekend.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and the Mighty One.
He's got some superhuman strength.
Mike Grace.
Upton-like power out of Mike Grace. Welcome to Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. Another beautiful afternoon in America's finest city. How about that? Got the big board showing the show. The big board outside, the video board, has the old Padres Social Hour logo on it. We're inside the AMR studio, just really underneath that giant video board, essentially, here in left field at Petco Park with Mike Grace. I'm Jesse Agler. Oh, my goodness, 14-3. 14-3, sir. 14 runs.
That was nice. That was fun. That was a little relaxing. Once you got to a certain point, we kind of needed that.
Yeah.
There haven't been a lot of those other than Madison Bumgarner, of course.
They call it a laugher.
We need more laughers. The past few years have been absent of laughers.
You've had some criers, but yeah, laughers. You bring up an interesting point there. And by the way, we got a ton of stuff to get to. Mark Sweeney, the former Padre and Rocky, will join us coming up in a little bit. Sweens, of course, is just down the street at Fox Sports San Diego, getting ready for Padres Live, the pregame show, and tonight's telecast on Fox Sports San Diego. So the Sween Dog is going to call us up, and we'll talk to him about the first few weeks of the season, which have obviously been fun. You just mentioned this a moment ago. You were able to relax last night. Now, it was Coors Field. If you're up 5-0 after one in most ballparks, you put your feet up a little bit as a fan watching on television or listening on the radio, unless you're driving, in which case you shouldn't put your feet up. But what point last night, knowing it was Coors Field, because I'm always nervous, Coors Field, I don't like, and you heard Mudd talk about it. Rocky's got a couple, he goes, hey, get him back, and that's exactly right. At what point were you actually comfortable last night?
I think for me, it was when the Padres scored the 10th run after, how ridiculous is that? Right. After they'd put two on the board to get the offense going back again, then I felt good about it. It is ridiculous to say that you don't feel great about a 9-run lead, but that place is crazy. Odorizzi Mardespagne hasn't had great road numbers, so you would assume that Coors Field might be the worst-case scenario for there, but he ended up being really good. Once they got the offense going again, I felt good about it. I could kind of relax and start focusing on some of the weekend TV I missed.
Oh, I see what you did there. I have a less specific answer. Once I realized Mardespagne was cool and that he was, like, rolling, I felt good. That was kind of the thing. And I know it can happen at any moment at Coors, but it really seemed like he was settled in a nice group. And we'll talk a lot more about Odorizzi Mardespagne because he was obviously a huge, huge, huge story last night. But so was the offense. I mean, it was right out of the chute. 4 straight hits in the top of the first inning off of Jorge De La Rosa, and away we went. I think one of the cool things here, Mike, is we've spent so much time early on in this season talking about how it's a different guy every night or a different couple of guys every night, and it could be Venable and Solarte this day, it'll be Kemp and Upton that day or whatever. And last night, what was so enjoyable was it was everybody. Literally, everybody was in on the act, and that was fun to watch. I guess that's part of what makes it a laugher.
It was fantastic. Getting 4 hits like that right off the bat, I think those guys feed off of each other's energy. You see bats like that. You see Buddy talked about De La Rosa just leaving the ball up and them taking advantage of a lot of mistakes. And those were just a lot of hard hit balls. So really, really good to see. You saw guys going the other way like Norris there. Jerko, everybody talks about when Jerko's going really well, he's hitting the ball to right center, to right field. His double went to right field last night. Those are the things that get guys going for the rest of the season, even though many of these guys were already going. But a guy like Jerko gets a really good at bat, things like that. So really fun to see the ball flying all over. Will Middlebrooks' first triple of his career. So many great things.
So many great things. It was a lot of fun. Now, you're active on Twitter.
Getting there.
No, but you're good on Twitter. Like, you know about the Twitter. You know how it works and everything like that. I'm active on the Twitter, and I would remind you for the moment, you can interact with our program here on a daily basis by using the hashtag on Twitter, PadresSH. So that's something to be aware of. But there's a Twitter account, and I'm sure you follow it, Mike Grace.
I do.
And I know I follow it. that has quickly turned into one of the best Padre Twitter feeds out there, and it is at Friar Figures. And it's a kind of like fun little notes about the Padres. And it's run by the PR team, the communication staff here at the Padres. Patrick Kurish sort of takes the lead on that. But he and Josh and Shanna and Vanessa and Danny, all their hard work coming up with these great little nuggets about the Padres. And right now is a great time to start following Friar Figures if you haven't already, because there are so many noteworthy things happening. So we've pulled a few from the last day and a half or so of the Friar Figures. So Blooper is going to fire up the Twitter machine, and boom, here's the first one that came in today. All right, let this soak in for a moment. Last night, Will Myers, Derek Norris, and the real Matt Kemp all scored three runs. They were 1, 2, and 3 in the batting order. That is the first time in Padre history that the 1, 2, 3 hitters all scored three or more runs. You go back to 1969, that had never happened until last night, that the top three guys in the batting order all scored three or more runs.
My only bone with that is I think it was worded poorly. The 1, 2, 3 hitters scored 9 runs. That sounds even crazier.
Well, that may have happened at some point. Because you could have a guy that gets, you know, 6, a guy that gets 3, and a guy that had none.
That's fair. But
he's trying to be accurate.
But they just,
why are you picking on Friar?
No, I'm not picking. I'm just trying to show the absurdity of the situation. The 1, 2, 3 hitters scored 9 runs. Like, that's insane.
That is insane.
I mean, three guys each scoring 3 runs.
The first starting lineup, first time that's ever happened. You're unimpressed by this figure. Let me try another Friar figure to see if we can impress Mike Grace. Because
we just got to work on their verbiage, that's all.
Well, he's trying to be accurate. I think that's the most important thing. How about this one? Does this impress you? The Padres had all 9 starters get a hit one time during the 2014 season. 162 games, it happened once last year. They've already done it twice in the first 14 games of this season. Does that impress you?
It impresses me to no end.
What about the verbiage?
Well played.
What about the syntax?
It's well played, PK.
What do you think about the syntax of that tweet?
I'm all in favor.
You got 140 characters. It's hard to get it in all the way.
It's true. No, this is great stuff. It really is. I mean, just watching guys hit balls hard all night long. Everybody in the lineup. You felt bad for Barmas. He doesn't get a hit in the first inning, and Middlebrooks, they come through later. You know, you don't want to be the one guy that doesn't get in on the action.
I mean, that's a good point. So they've already done it twice this year. Hat tips to the pitchers as well, including OD, that first career hit. We'll talk more about that. Second time in 14 games that they've had that happen, where all 9 guys get a hit. They did it once all of last year. That's a good Friar figure. All right, Blooper, what's our next Friar figure from the Twitter account? Here you go. The Padres have scored 5 runs in the first and fifth innings. This was last night, of course. They've scored 5 or more runs in multiple innings of the same game just 5 times since 2000. So 15 years, they've only done it 5 times, what they did last night as far as that big run scoring. Does that Friar figure impress you?
Yes.
What about the way it's worded, more importantly?
Worded properly.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
All right, let's try
the
next. You
just got to find the emphasis of where the major part of the note is.
You don't want the emphasis to be on the wrong syllable, basically,
exactly.
Is what you're
saying. You know me.
I do know you. all right. We got 2 more of these great Friar figures. Make sure you follow at Friar Figures. The Padres have 5 players who have reached base in 12 games so far this season. Upton, Myers, Middlebrooks, Kemp, Alonso. No other team in baseball has more than 2 guys who have reached base in 12 games so far this year. Think about that. The Padres have 5 guys who have reached base in 12 games this year. No other team in baseball has more than 2 such players. That might be my favorite one so far.
You love the consistency there. Guys getting on base over many, many games. That's probably the greatest harbinger for the rest of the season, seeing things like that. Just a consecutive game streak like that, that's really, really impressive.
That is awesome. That is awesome. All right. One more Friar figure, and this one's more forward-looking. This is for tonight. This is a look at the MLB leaders in batting average against left-handed pitching. The Padres will face another lefty tonight, Tyler Matzek. So, obviously, there's some relievers in there, but this is essentially what Kershaw, Bumgarner, and De La Rosa. So not a giant sample size by any stretch of the imagination. Nonetheless, Derek Norris hitting .692 against left-handed pitching. Yonder Alonso, a left-handed batter himself, hitting .600. Matt Kemp hitting .583. And Jed Jerko hitting an even .500 against left-handed pitching so far this year. Again, very early, obviously. It's just a couple of starting pitchers. But another one coming up tonight, Tyler Matzek. that's a good Fryer figure.
Absolutely. And Tyler Matzek can't feel great about taking the bump tonight. And I mean, Yonder Alonso, that's really surprising.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic.
Great for him, right?
Absolutely.
Great for him that he's having that kind of success against left-handed pitching, because I think there was a point in spring training maybe where we were talking about possibility of him, you know, sitting against some left-handed starters, but he has moved him down, you know, at times in the lineup against left-handed starters, but he has more than held his own. Obviously, I guess he's hitting 600 in his at-bats against lefties so far. All right, we'll take a break when we come back. Talk about Odrysimer Despaigne's wonderful, wonderful evening last night.
So great.
And also get to some of the Twitter questions and comments that are coming in using that hashtag PadresSH. It's been a lot of fun so far for the Padres. It is, Mike, I would contend, going to get even more fun this weekend. First trip to Petco Park this season for the Los Angeles Dodgers, and there are still tickets remaining. Not a ton. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this weekend against the Dodgers. Get your tickets at Padres.com. You can, of course, also stop by the box office here at Petco Park. I've seen some really healthy lines at the box office, but tickets available for all three games. Not a ton, particularly on Saturday. Friday, remember, is that beer fest as well. What a great weekend it's going to be. We'll take a break, come back, talk about Odrysimer Despaigne's big night last night, and then Mark Sweeney of Fox Sports San Diego is going to join us. We are live, as you can see, at the AMR studio at Petco Park. Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, continues right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines. Tuesday, the 21st of April. I love that video board. They got the Social Hour logo on the big video board here at Petco Park right now. All along around the East Village, people are walking around being like, wow. That looks good.
It's a marquee television program.
It is, particularly when it comes to Padres baseball. One of the things about this show, not to be too inward-looking, but one of the things about this show is on this set, Mike Grace, as you know, we're somewhat exposed here physically.
Yes.
Like, we don't have a desk to hide behind.
We have to wear pants.
Or a table. Right. I can't go pantsless. I can't wear a bathing suit or anything like that, nor can you.
That's a Pomerantz move.
Right. Yeah, no, he's able to do that behind the desk on Padre, although they do get those guys to stand up and walk around. You know what? Mark Sweeney's going to join us next segment. We'll ask him if they've ever gone pantsless behind the desk. But so one of the things about being exposed here is that oftentimes our socks are hanging out here on set. And so it's sort of become like an unofficial Social Hour tradition for the folks on Twitter, the peanut gallery, if you will, to comment on the socks. So, oh boy, they're just flowing in right now because the sock game is strong today. Mickey, very impressed with the sock game today. He's not alone. Who else? Devin is in on this. On fleek. I mean, when the kids say that your sock game is on fleek, that's about as good as it gets at Brown Muck. He's impressed with you, by the way, that you broke down and bought the Argyle socks, because there has been a time, right? There was a time when people said, hey, Grace, your sock game is not necessarily up to standard.
I felt so much peer pressure to step up to your sock game and actually have something of pattern. I broke down. I actually went and did a little internet shopping for some socks, so I'm going to have some new stuff this later this week, I think.
Well, you know what? Thank goodness.
Right?
You'll be doing quite a few Social Hours coming up. I'll be off the show a little bit moving forward. I got some TV games coming up, some radio games coming up. So you'll be in this seat a lot, and the people clearly are going to want to pay attention to the socks.
Got to give the people what they want.
You know what? You want a trick? You want a little tip?
Yes, please.
So my socks. Amazon. It was like $20 for a 20 pack, something like that, of all these crazy dress socks.
I found a couple good deals.
Yeah, you can find some good deals out there. All right. How about a baseball Twitter question before we talk about Odrysimer Despaigne? I didn't say it was a good question. Brian, he wants to know how Justin Upton is doing. Injury, ? Obviously, Brian missed the game last night, a 14-3 victory in which Justin Upton started to contribute and then was able to take the rest of the night off. He is also in the starting lineup this evening. So all good. Thank goodness for Justin Upton.
That was the great part of last night. You could get guys rest. Weather was not great there, so get him out of there and let Will Venable get some at-bats, and that worked out well as well.
A little bit on the chilly side.
Ooh.
That's not good for those muscle strains and everything, so you're exactly right. You get him out of the game.
Altitude, too.
Altitude doesn't help with that sort of thing. Potassium, right?
Oxygen to muscles. There's all kinds of different things.
You get one of those barometric chambers, maybe?
Yes.
Does that help with the oxygen?
It does.
Okay.
A lot of healing.
There you go. That's what that's what you got to do. Odrysimer Despaigne. So here you go. You put up 14 runs, and you get all these big hits and the triple and the home run and the doubles and the doubles and the doubles. And yet, I think Despaigne was involved in like three or four of the most exciting plays of the game last night. He takes a couple of line drives back up the middle.
Crazy.
Right? One off the foot where he goes, kick save. Great play.
Really, it was.
Great play. And then he sort of maintains composure and makes the play defensively. Never an easy thing to do for a pitcher, but like no problem. And he takes another one off the chest. And this one was a little bit more on the scary side because anytime it comes more up, you know, down by the feet and the ankles, obviously it can leave a mark, it can hurt. But anytime it comes up, you get a little bit nervous for the guy. But then he's got the presence of mind to get over there. They didn't make the play, but still, he takes one off the chest, for goodness sake. So those were two kind of wild and crazy plays last night. And, of course, perhaps most importantly, Odrysimer Despaigne, who had been 0 for 30, is that right? 0 for 30,
yes.
Steps up to the plate and with authority drives the ball the other way.
A good, solid hit. That wasn't a little fluke dribbler in the infield that he beat out. That was a good take-it-the-other-way solid single. And you heard Chris Button say that no louder cheer came from that dugout during the game than when Odrysimer Despaigne got that hit. So that was awesome. He has the best smile. He really does. It's just kind of like this sly smile with his crooked cap. He takes one right in the chest. He's like, I'm good, Skip. I'm going to go out there and throw it, obviously in Spanish. But you get the drift, and man, what a fun night.
It was a really, really fun night, and it's always cool when, you know, a guy like that is in the middle of it all, and it's not about only a Kemp or an Upton or anything like that. You know, obviously some post-game treatment is required for Odrysimer Despaigne, you know, but the fact that he's okay, I think, is the main thing, right? I mean, that's what we're looking at, because those are scary ones, those comebackers.
That's number one. You always want to make sure he's okay, especially taking one in the chest. That was really scary. I mean, a lot of bad things can happen if you get hit in the heart with a baseball, and luckily he deflected. I think his arm caught a little bit of it or something, and he was smiling. Everybody could have fun with it, but once you knew he was okay, probably motivated him a little bit to locate the ball a little better so he didn't get any more smashes up the middle.
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying about all of that. So quite a night for Odrysimer Despaigne, and very easy to sort of overlook what he did on the mound. 6 2/3, 2 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. Got the pitch count up to 109. And, again, really, really good job by him last night. And, oh, by the way, Despaigne now 2-0 with a 1.47 ERA in 2 starts in that long relief outing the day Kennedy got hurt against the Giants.
It's one of those Buddy Black, it's not really a problem, good problems to have. Ian Kennedy close to coming back, rejoining the rotation. This guy's been fantastic in the rotation. What do you do? Ian Kennedy's probably going to get his spot back, but this is a very, very valuable guy to have in the bullpen as a long relief man. If he has to go back into the rotation for whatever reason, can pitch on many days in a row. He's got a bit of a rubber arm, so just really, really, really valuable member of this team, bullpen,
hugely,
rotation, no matter where it is.
Hugely valuable guy, and he's done an awesome job so far this year. And, yeah, that whole question about Kennedy coming back, I think Kennedy goes right back in the rotation as soon as he's physically ready to do so. We'll talk to Mark Sweeney about that coming up next, though, because it's an interesting subplot right now because Despaigne has been so good. All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, Mark Sweeney, Fox Sports San Diego, will join us. Meanwhile, located on the rail of this building, the Western Metal Supply Company building, is The Rail, presented by Montalvo Tequila. It's one of the newest seating areas right here at Petco Park, and your ticket to sit at The Rail comes with in-seat waiter service and food from Rymal's Rotisserie. Get your tickets to The Rail at Padres.com. That's right above us here, The Rail, one of those great new areas at the ballpark here in San Diego. We'll take a break, come back. Mark Sweeney joins us right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. Jesse Agler and Mike Grace, plenty to talk about after that 14-3 victory last night in Colorado. We're joined now on the Cholula Hotline by Mark Sweeney, Fox Sports San Diego. He's down the street at the big building in right field. Mark, appreciate you taking some time to join us. Now, before this Twitter thing gets out of control, first of all, I accused you and Pomerantz of nothing. We were simply asking the question with the desk back there for Padres Live. Have you ever gone pantsless? I never said you did. I was just wondering aloud if you guys had ever done that on the air.
No worries, Jesse. Listen, when you're 3 years into it, I don't think I can make that play. That's a strong play for me, so I'm not going to do that.
All right. I think that's probably for the best. We were saying, you know, they get you guys moving around, walking around. It would probably be more trouble than it's worth, although I guess we'll never know because they've got the desk. But, hey, we were just talking about this a moment ago. Despaigne, just sensational again last night. I don't believe he stays in the rotation when Ian Kennedy is ready to come back because I think he's got so much value in the bullpen as we've seen these last couple of weeks. But it's probably a little bit more difficult of a conversation than it would have been had he not been this good. Is that kind of a good way to put that?
Yeah, I agree with you, Jesse. I mean, if you think of it, you know, moving forward, even going out of spring training, it was an ideal guy that could give you length in that spot where Tim Stauffer did a great job last year in the similar spot. But you're getting different arm angles, you're giving different looks. And when Ian Kennedy went down, it was a luxury. You realized the depth immediately when Dries Meyer Despaigne came in and performed as well as he did. Then the start at home, obviously, the stats don't lie. He pitches very well at Petco. I think last night was a big deal because, one, the Padres got off to a great start offensively, but him pitching well on the road, it just seems to me that Despaigne is in a great position. I think he feels very comfortable with his team and his surroundings. And I just wonder how much he really went through last year just being acclimated to the United States. Now he feels like he's comfortable, he knows his teammates, and they're having fun with him.
Hey, Mark, obviously a great start to the season for the club and might even be a little better had the defense come through in a few spots. Curious your opinion, how much of the defensive issues they've had can be cleaned up and how much of it is kind of where these players are at as defensive players?
Well, Gracie, I think it's attention to detail. You go through slumps both offensively, pitching, defensively as well. Ian Desmond from Washington Nationals is had a nightmare start of the season, but he is known as a plus defender. It just happens, one of those things. I don't think they're in a bad spot. I think there's a lot of getting to know each other, knowing what's going on. I think there's been also a lot of good things defensively that have been outshadowed with some of the mistakes. But those things happen. They've covered their mistakes with offensively doing much better than anticipated, I think, to start the season. So, I know Bud Black and his staff are just going to try to clean things up because they're constantly teaching. They're trying to get themselves mentally in tune to getting in and playing defense as opposed to just hitting or just pitching.
Mark Sweeney is with us on the Cholula Hotline. He's also on Twitter, of course, at SweeneyDog9. You can see him on Padres Live, the pregame show, coming up at 5 o'clock here on Fox Sports San Diego. Has this team exceeded your expectations through these first, 14, 15 games?
I think, Jesse, I would say yes, and not talent-wise. I just think that the way they've meshed, it really speaks to what they did in spring training because that's not easy. And being around a team that has so many new additions, getting everyone on the same page, getting everyone together, and having success early in the season is very important. But it's hard to do. It's hard to win in the big leagues, period, no matter how much talent you have. And I think some teams are showing that this year. But to get off to a good start really shows what Bud Black and his staff did to mesh these guys together. They're having a lot of fun.
Speaking of meshing this team together, it seems like a lot of guys have kind of settled into their roles as starters. I'm curious who you see on this team that might fit into a role like you had. I think it's so valuable to have a player like you back in the day, one of the all-time great pinch hitters. Do you see a guy on this team that can be that scary bat off the bench that you feel really good about putting into a late pinch hitting situation? Or is there somebody else, maybe in the minors, that could fill that role that you see kind of filling what you used to do for several teams?
Well, thank you, Gracie. It's really one of those things. You got to be committed. You also got to know your role, and you have to be prepared. When Jesse and I were doing the games in spring training, I said this, that I think Will Venable is going to be a major contributor in this team. And obviously he's done well when he's gotten in there. He's got the home runs, another home run last night. This is a guy that really has settled into his role and done well. Now, that being said, this is a guy that also can impact a game with getting more at bats. I just think they want to get him in that position where he can give you a solid at bat. Plus, Solarte has been done a great job too. I think a lot of people have made comments, Solarte being a switch hitter, that's a dangerous spot and a great weapon to have for Buddy Block.
Mark Sweeney with us on the Cholula Hotline. Joe just tweeted this in. He goes, how about a shout-out for Kotze? Man, does he look like the best hitting coach ever. Hey, look, hitting coaches, they get a hard time from fans and media when a team isn't hitting. So certainly he and Alonzo Powell both, they seem to have these guys locked in.
Jesse, both of these guys put so much pride into their work and their craft, and you know, from day one, I think they changed the culture a little bit. And also, like we heard in spring training, the best players on this team, and I'm saying Matt Kemp and Justin Upton, not taking anything away from anybody else, but they're the greatest examples. They work hard, they're prepared, they're ready. I think that goes along with what atmosphere that Mark Kotze and Alonzo Powell have created. They're having fun. They have music in the cages. They have video boards. They changed the batting cages into 19's house. I think it's a great idea because it's just changing the culture and making sure these guys are on the same page. They're talking with one another. And when you develop that, I remember in 1998, Greg Vaughn and Tony Gwynn, all these guys, we talked hitting. Wally Joyner, we talked hitting all the time and what your plan was, what you were going to attack. And I think they've created that culture and moving forward. Obviously, a good April doesn't hurt, but I think they have a lot to do with it.
Speaking of hitting and hitting approaches, curious your take on a lot of the defensive shifts. You know, Yonder Alonso has been hitting the ball really hard, but occasionally right up the middle, and defenses are playing him right up the middle. So he's making good contact but not always getting hits out of it. What would you have done as a hitter if you had a dramatic shift on you? Do you change your approach, or you just have to go up there and hit the ball hard, and where it goes, it goes?
Yeah, I think it's line drives work every time. I think every father has said that, every coach has said that. Line drives work. Mistake pitches in a perfect swing is a home run to most guys. Guys that are paid to hit home runs out of the ballpark go up there with that intent. I'm not a big believer in laying a bunt down when you're a home run hitter, but if you're a guy that's struggling and they have a shift on, put it down. Be unselfish when you have to be and try to create opportunities for your team to score runs. These shifts get in the hitters' heads. I know they do. It shows. But you can't get frustrated. I think Will Middlebrooks is one of those guys that probably got crushed on the shifts at the beginning of the year. But everyone else seems to be on point what their plan is and try to attack it that way.
Good analysis, as always, from Mark Sweeney of Fox Sports San Diego. You can get more of his analysis coming up at 5 o'clock, Padres Live, the pregame show, throughout the game, of course, with Mike Pomerantz, and after the game as well. Hopefully another Padre victory for those guys to break down. It's been a fun first few weeks. Always nice to catch up, Sweens. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate your time.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you, and go Pods, man. Let's keep it going against the lefty.
Yes, sir. Enjoy
Thanks,
the
Mark.
Game. Mark Sweeney on the Cholula Hotline. Cholula is the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wood cap for a punch of delicious jalapeno and poblano. Check out the new green pepper sauce flavor today. He and Mike Pomerantz do such an awesome job with all the pre- and post-game, and when they chime in the middle of the game, break things down. And one of the all-time great dudes, man.
Really good
Mark
guy.
Sweeney. Biggest surprise to you? We were just, talking about maybe exceeding expectations at this point. And I don't want to go crazy 14, 15 games in. But, like, the thing you're most pleasantly surprised about at this point, Mike Grace?
I think it's Yonder. I think he is playing like we thought he could play. He's hitting like we thought he could hit that he did his first year in San Diego, taking some of the pressure off of him to be able to just be a guy in the lineup instead of trying to carry a lineup. I think that's been huge for this team because if he's hitting, you're essentially 7-8 deep. And when you go 7-8 deep, that just never lets up on the pitcher. So we talked about it a lot, Kemp, Upton. These guys are going to take pressure off of the rest of the lineup, and Yonder's really come through in a big way.
All right. The other important thing I think we learned there in talking to Mark Sweeney was that he has never gone pantsless on Fox Sports San Diego behind the desk, and I appreciate the professionalism that he brings there.
But he didn't say anything about Pomerantz, so we got to ask him.
Fair enough. Sweeney says he's never done it. Well,
he's a little more straight-laced.
Okay.
Don't you think?
Yeah, no, I'd say.
Great guy, but he's
pretty straight-laced. Yeah, so he's a businessman.
Pomerantz is a wild card.
So you think there's a possibility?
I think there's a strong possibility.
Do you have inside information or you're just speculating?
I feel like I had a conversation with him at some point, but I can neither confirm nor deny.
That sounds a little bit shady. We'll have Pomerantz on at some point, and we'll ask him about that. But, you know, look, man, they're pros.
Oh,
and
such a great job.
What happens underneath the desk stays there. That's how that goes. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco's proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. We'll take a break when we come back. Hey, we got even more tweeter questions coming in. Looks like the live chat's hopping today as well at Padres.com/social hour. We'll check in on those guys and also talk about the newest big-name prospect to get the call in the major leagues. Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, continues right after this.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines. Jesse Agler, Mike Grace. Tuesday, April 21st. There will be no 5-15 start for the Padres this season. They are off to a nice opening couple of weeks. 9-5 record after 14 games and hopefully 10-5. Second game of a four-game series against the Rockies coming up tonight at 5:40. Brandon Morrow and Tyler Matzik, the left-hander. We talked earlier in the show about how well the Padres are hitting left-handed pitching so far this season. Matzik had the best start of his very brief major league career against the Padres last September, a three-hit shutout at Coors Field. A little bit of a different lineup tonight for Tyler Matzik to face. Just a little.
And he had four starts against the Padres last year. Two didn't go so well, gave up five runs in both, and he had the big shutout, like you mentioned, and then the Padres got a 1-0 win against him, Petco, at the very end of the season last year. So definitely a whole new lineup. I mean, yeah. He watched what they did to Jorge De La Rosa last night. He got a nice front row view of that.
He was charting pitches and watching them.
They don't do that anymore, do they?
Do they?
I don't think so.
Really?
No, I don't think that was always the thing. If you were starting the next day, you charted the night before. I don't think they have to do that anymore.
Everything's electronics now?
Robots.
Oh, man. The robots are all over the place. Here's some more fun notes from last night. 14-3, you can just kind of go crazy, right, with this kind of thing? The Padres, five runs in the first inning, were their most in the first inning since July 29th of 2009. 2009 was the last time they had that kind of offensive outburst in the first inning of a game. They still lead the majors with 16 first-inning runs so far this season. 16 runs in the first inning leads baseball. Last night was the first time since April of 2013 in L.A. that the Padres had 9 plate appearances in the first inning. 6 hits in the first inning, most for the Padres since September of 2008 at San Francisco. I mean, it's just crazy. It's just crazy.
It's fantastic. And for me right now, the thing that kind of excited me the most, and it's going to happen after a big blowout win like that, but a plus 23 run differential. A lot of the analytics community use run differential to show whether how good a team is, not so much record, because that can be a little fluky, but
sure. That's
the top run differential in the National League. That says a lot to me.
Quite a lot.
And what is it? I was looking through the notes for today. They've basically scored as many runs in 14 games as they did in 28 games last year. I mean, it's just a completely different team.
It's kind of become comic and laughable in a great way, of course. And you know, look, throughout the offseason and through spring training, talking about the makeover that A.J. Preller performed on this team. But, of course, until they get out there and you see them in action, you're never quite sure how it's going to go. Like, I can't imagine anybody thinks they're underperforming expectations right now. You know, you can be a smart aleck. There we go. That's a good TV-friendly way to put that. You can be a smart aleck and be like, this is what I expected. But that's it. Like, you can't be like, oh, they're not doing enough. I mean, it has just been exactly what you would have wanted through the first 14 games of the season, and that's fun. It's fun seeing a team get to maybe even exceed, surpass your own expectations for them.
And Mark Sweeney said it, the guys are really meshing. They did a lot of good things in spring training. I think that's important for a baseball team, clubhouse chemistry, guys pulling for each other, and you see that in the dugout. You see that on the field. You saw it yesterday, Derek Norris looking back at Matt Kemp, you know, big round of applause after the RBI. It was good to see. These guys are all pulling for each other, and like you said, it's everything you could have hoped for to start the season.
Yeah, that's exactly it. All right, so tonight's game against Tyler Matzek, we'll pull up the starting lineup for you for the Padres. If you watched last night's 14-3 victory, this will look very, very familiar to you. And that makes sense to me. If you put up 14 runs, no reason to change anything, and Buddy has not. The Padres starting lineup presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. Myers, Norris, Kemp, Upton, Middlebrooks, Jerko, Alonzo, Barmis, Moro, 1-8, top to bottom, exactly the same as yesterday. You just swap in a new starting pitcher. Don't fix what ain't broken, as they say.
No, and I mean, how many times of the last year and even before that have we talked about why can't Buddy Black stick with a lineup? Why can't Buddy Black stick with a lineup? Well, he's got a lineup worth sticking with now. And the only real fluctuation you see is Norris and Alonso kind of flip-flopping on the lefty-righty thing, which makes sense because Norris has throughout his career, a pretty significant split with the righty-lefty. Now Alonso's having a great year against lefties. We'll see if that keeps up. If it does, then he might be an MVP. But you see players worthy of their spot in the lineup, and they're going to stick there. And these guys haven't got a lot of days off because they're good baseball players, and
that's
they need
it.
To be out there.
You want them out there. You want them in the lineup. The other one that keeps changing a little bit, of course, is at shortstop, Barmis and Amarista, but back-to-back days now against a left-handed starting pitcher. And so Barmis gets his third straight start, which I like. I like the idea of him being able to kind of get into a little bit of a groove, getting some consistent playing time, even if he's going to be, you know, splitting time when all is said and done.
I think it's important. We've seen a little shakiness on his defense. His throws haven't been quite there. So I think it is good to keep getting him out there a few days in a row so he can feel comfortable at short, because that's what he's a part of this team for, is his glove. Lexi's probably a little better offensive player, but when they need stability on the defensive side, Clint Barmis is supposed to give you that, and more playing time will help him get there.
Absolutely. All right. Remember, if you want to contribute, ask questions, make comments, throw things, you just go on Twitter and use the hashtag PadresSH. That's the hashtag on Twitter. We got a couple that we want to get to. East Village Times wants to know if OD got his clothes today. How about an update? I don't have an update. Maybe Chris Button on the telecast will have some more information. That seems like something she'd be on top of. But, yeah, that was kind of the thing in the dugout last night is they had told Despaigne, the rest of the team, they pooled some funds, I think. They said, hey, look, if and when you get your first big league hit, we're gonna take you shopping. So I look forward to hearing or reading more about that when we find out.
Yeah, we'll have to get the social team on that, maybe get some photos of the new wardrobe, because he does have an eclectic wardrobe.
Yes, he does. Yes.
He rocks his style, to say the least.
He has his own distinct style.
He really does.
Odris Amer Despaigne.
I'm a fan of his white loafers.
One more from Darklighter on Twitter. He says, Major League Baseball is really hyping the StatCast launch. Are you excited? So, yeah, tonight for the first time we kind of get our look at StatCast, which if you haven't seen it before or haven't seen it yet, they've done some demonstrations. It's like the thing that in the outfield they'll show you the miles per hour of the outfielder chasing down a ball in the gap and how good of a break he got and what his route looked like and, you know, for a base runner, how quickly he goes first to third. And they can do all these crazy wild things on the screen. So they're sort of debuting it in real time for the first time tonight. To his point, they've been a little bit obnoxious with the promotion, I'll say that. You know, a lot of times our friends at Major League Baseball Advanced Media, and we love them dearly, they can be a little heavy-handed with some of the promotion. They're bullhorn folks. That's sort of their strategy, I guess. So it's been a little bit obnoxious from a promotion standpoint, but the technology is absolutely fascinating. Fascinating. And we'll see, you know, how much sort of real-life application, you know, we get out of this thing, but I'm very excited to see it. Personally,
I am too, and the thing that I'm always looking forward to is the speed of the ball off the bat. Like, wouldn't you love to know how hard that ball off Nick Hundley's bat was that hit OD right in the chest? Those are the things that I think really make this an interesting facet to a broadcast. So I'm looking forward to it. I mean, is it going to change the world? Probably not, but anything that enhances your enjoyment of baseball, I'm all for that.
Your intelligence, your enjoyment, your understanding, all of those kinds of things. I like data of all sorts and kinds. Give me as much as I can to allow me to sort of have my opinions be as informed as they can possibly be. I'm very excited to see it.
Yeah.
Very excited to see it. All right, cool. We'll take a break, come back. Got some more stuff coming in on Twitter. We'll get to those and talk about some other interesting stuff going on around Major League Baseball, including the very first manager whose seat is red hot, red Cholula hot, under Mike Redmond of the Marlins here just a couple of weeks into the season. This Friday here at Petco Park, the first Beer Fest of the season. Check out beers from 18 local and national breweries. The first pour is at 5 p.m. and all beers are $5. Admission is free with a ticket to Friday night's game against the Dodgers. I mean, my goodness, what else could you ask for? Beer Fest at 5, Dodgers Padres at 7:10, right here at Petco Park. Get your tickets at Padres.com. Beer Fest. First one of the season coming up on Friday night. Take a break. Come back. More Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines right after this.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studio at Petco Park with Mike Grace. I'm Jesse Agler. If you don't mind me, how old are you?
I'm 36.
You're 36. I'm 33. Neither one of us is a particularly old person. Of course, that's always relative. There's some 17-year-old that thinks we're ancient. But here you go. If you're over the age of, like, 22, mm-hmm. I now have a piece of information that will make you feel old, which is not easy to do, like a 22, 23, 24, 25-year-old. Certainly, if you're our age, if you're even older. This will make Addison Russell called up by the Cubs, and he's starting at second base tonight, 0-for-1 with a ground out in his first major league at-bat. He's like the next greatest thing, right? You saw Chris Bryant over the weekend. Now it's Addison Russell. He was born. Addison Russell was born. He is a big leaguer. He is playing in a major league game tonight, not a minor league game, not a college game, not like a high school game. He is playing in a big league game tonight. He was born on January 23rd, 1994.
Oh, my gosh.
He is playing in a major league game, and he was born in 1994.
Born during the strike year. Wow. That's crazy. It's weird how you hit life milestones and things just make you feel old. That's definitely
1994.
That's definitely one of them. The draft is always kind of a depressing time,
yeah,
too, when you see all these, yeah, players coming through.
Yeah, but when they hit the big leagues, that's like when it hits you in the face. He's like, you know, it's one thing when a guy's like a prospect or a minor leaguer. You sort of dismiss it a little bit. You're like, well, yeah, he was born in 2000, but he's playing in Rancho Cucamonga. I don't know. Like, you know, you sort of justify it in your own head. But now the guy is in the big leagues, and he was born in 1994. That's crazy. Another note from around baseball. Mike Redman, the Marlin manager. Hot seat, man. Hot seat. They're off to a very, very bad start. A little bit of a volatile ownership group there, I would say. And they are not happy. There are reports and rumors and innuendo that he could be on the way out. I saw Wally Backman's name thrown out there, who's really one of the most interesting managerial candidates of all time. Are we allowed to call him the former Diamondbacks manager? He was introduced. There was a press conference, and then they got rid of him ever before he had a chance to manage a game because they found out some things about him they didn't like after they had hired him, which seems a little bit strange and backwards. But he's been managing the Mets AAA team in Vegas the last couple years. I mean, April 21st, and we're talking about managerial hot seat. That's pretty special.
It really is. And whenever your team makes a lot of aggressive moves and thinks they should be in some sort of contention, and you're the opposite of that, that's going to happen. And mm-hmm. you can't fire all the players. You can fire a coach or you can fire a manager. Sometimes it works. I'd say rarely does it ever work. You know, sorry. It
worked
is what
for
it
the
is,
Marlins.
Mike Redman.
Worked for the Marlins in 2003, same ownership group. It was later in the season, but yeah. They fired Jeff Torborg. They bring back our friend Jack McKee, and they win the World Series.
Right.
And everybody likes to point and say, hey, they made the midseason managerial change, and look what happened. You know what else they did that summer in addition to changing managers? They called up Miguel Cabrera and Dontrell Willis from the minor leagues, both of whom sort of exploded onto the scene. That's the easy thing to forget. All right, we got some nervous folks. Padres Rock in the live chat says, longtime Padre fan, looking forward to the game tonight. Having said that, though, I have an abundance of caution. Been through a lot over the years, often not good. Similar sentiment on Twitter from Baby Davey. He says, optimism after a good start and a 14-3 win is easy. What are some of the things to make us sweat? So you got a couple of nervous Nellies out there. We'll take a break when we come back. Grace, you will tell us what you are concerned about after a 9-5 start to this season. And to be fair, there's always stuff to be concerned about.
Sure.
But I want to know what you're thinking. Looking for paradise? Maui Wowie Hawaiian presents delicious made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies as well as adult beverage smoothies. Visit the new Maui Wowie locations inside Petco at the Park at the Park or on the Mercado behind home plate. They're also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. Yummy, yummy. Maui Wowie. Take a break. Come back. Wrap up Padres Social Hour right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
with Mike Grace. I'm Jesse Agler. Running out of time on Padres Social Hour before the break. Had a couple of the nervous Nellies check in. Hey, I get it. I get it. We can't have nice things. But it's a fair conversation to have. It's not perfect.
No.
Buddy Black wouldn't say that things are perfect right now. Pretty darn good, and I'm not about to complain about anything. But what is something you'd like to see cleaned up moving forward?
Cleaned up defense, obviously. I feel good about the infield defense. Will Middlebrooks has been a nice surprise. I think Yonder's got a solid glove. Just a couple mistakes. Jerko's solid. I feel good about our guys at shortstop. Outfield defense just needs to clean it up a little bit. The only other thing to really sweat at this point is always injuries. Every team has to deal with injuries. You've kind of survived your first two injury hiccups. So, hey, let's keep rolling.
Sounds good to me. Yeah, defense for me, by the way, would be the easy one that kind of comes to mind. Outfield, infield. You want to see that stuff buttoned up. You're going to play a lot of important games, and you don't want an important game to go the wrong way because of an error. That'd be a tough pill to swallow. Hey, fun show. Thanks to Mark Sweeney for calling in. Why don't we do it again tomorrow? 4 o'clock? Yeah, 4 o'clock. Sounds good.